Today's Bible reading is from 1 John chapter 4, verse 13 to 21. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister.
We have our next installment in The Shape of Tov. And as we've been going through, just a reminder, Tov, it's the Hebrew word for good or goodness. And we've had our two verses from Romans chapter 12 that we've been sort of sitting with. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Just for a moment, just sit with that. Just don't pretend to love others, but really love them. When we pretend to love others, I'm not sure what we're intending. Maybe it's to look loving. But when we pretend to love others, if the person that we're pretending to love has even an inkling that we are pretending, do you think it helps them trust? It doesn't, does it? It undermines that. So each week, as we think of something, we've looked at empathy and we looked at grace last week, and the book, A Church Called Tov, says that when you look at something like grace, it's also good to look at what it is that we resist. And so even in these verses, you know, don't just pretend to love others, really love them, hate what is wrong. There's this intensity that comes into it. Like, let's do this really well. And one of the things to do that really well means we're going to have to really resist, or as Paul says, hate. This. Hold tightly to what is good, love each other with genuine affection, and take a delight in honouring each other. So we're going to have a think this morning about what it is to resist fear. And we've just sung a song about that. I'm no longer a fear to slave. I remember the first time I heard that song. Bill Hybels was pastor at Willow Creek. It was, I think, done at the Leadership Summit, or the Global Leadership Summit conference thing that they used to run. And it was introduced at that, and it was introduced to a bunch of leaders. That's right, leaders of amazing churches. And the person who was sharing this song with us was a leader of an amazing church. Can I just say, you guys are an amazing church. And the heart of it was, this song spoke to me because I have fear. Those who look really successful sometimes have a massive amount of fear. Why? Because you're living with that idea that what you are successful in could be taken from you. And the point of the song is that there is something that God has given you, that he has given to you, that is yours, and it won't be taken from you. We've been looking at the Wheel of Grace, and we're at Nurturing Grace, which is around about 2:30 on the clock. And resist fear, I put in just about 3:15. And so that's just so it's not in the wheel, but it's one of the weeks that we're doing, and that's where it sits. And this was an interesting talk to try and think through, and my thinking is still unformed, which frustrates me when you go to preach on something and your thinking is still unformed. But there's grace here, is there not? Yeah. So we'll just see how we go. Yes, there was a verbal response at that point. How un-Presbyterian. Anyway, so I want you to sit for a moment and just think of that question. What fear does church bring for you? So with this fear thing, there's points where we're going to think about it as individuals for our lives. there's points where we're going to think about it for us as a community of God's people. And just for a moment, some of you have been coming to church here. Jack's on call, by the way. Some of you have been coming here for a very long time. And getting up in the morning, it may just be this, I'm going to church, always go to church, that's what I do. In fact, if I didn't go to church, there'd be something wrong. For some of us, it's a newer thing. For some of us, there may still be things in the morning when we get up and we go, oh, church. And there's something to be overcome. What fear does church bring for you? Now, as you sit here at MacChap, this may or may not be the furthest thing from your mind, but sometimes going to church, there is a fear that there will be rejection, that there might be judgment. There might be one of those sermons who tells me how bad I am. There could be a fear of change, that something I really like. You know, I love church because I love morning tea because of the coffee Dave's make. What if Dave's not on coffee making duty? I don't know who's on coffee making duty this morning, but anyway, whatever it is, it could be exposure. It could be that idea of vulnerability. If I go to church, I don't know what might be asked of me. What about the demands that church might place on me? What if I come to church? What if I rock up to this church for the very first time and I rock up and I walk away doing a once a month morning tea roster? What if they do that to me? You see, because you don't know. You don't know the other person. You haven't built a relationship yet. And sometimes when you have built a relationship, the relationship is one of fear anyway. And so just for a moment, for you, what was it like coming to church this morning? And are you open to what it might be like for each other? What was the first thing that we looked at 1 o'clock or 12:30 on the play school clock? Nurturing empathy. Just for a moment. What's it like for those around you? Do you know? Well, in a book, A Church Called Tove, it has a quote that I gave last week for the talk on grace, because it has grace in it, but also has fear. Grace-filled goodness begins in forgiveness, forms into freedom, resists fear, all because it knows that God's design for the church is love. Now, one of the things I think that is true, just for a moment, is that when there is something that is dangerous that we fear, that generally is something that causes us to avoid it, doesn't it? It's sort of, you know, if I don't want to come to a place where I feel afraid, I will leave that place. I won't go back. And grace, excuse me, grace or love is something that draws us in as a general rule. You'd probably agree with that. Of course, there's times in our lives where we keep going back to the things we're afraid of, for good or bad reasons. There's also times where we avoid grace for good or bad reasons, and we avoid love. And these two things are actually very connected and related to each other, and the Bible reading today tells us that. What is it that can squash love? Fear can. What is it that can get rid of fear? Love is. One thing we do know from our Bible verse is what? That is that the two aren't compatible. They don't live in the same room. We know that. And so fear can restrict and it can make demands upon us, whereas grace can free us. And so I thought it might be just helpful for a moment to just think about the way fear can work, especially in relationships and connections and communities. So I've got this interesting diagram. Won't take long for us to work our way through, but it's like a downward spiral. It's the downward spiral of fear, because that's what you wanted to come to church and learn about. Fear in relationships, things like rejection and judgment. When there's rejection and judgment, what do we tend to do? Well, we tend to protect ourselves or hide, or we tend to turn on it and attack it and judge it. It's the flight or fight thing, isn't it? And fear in relationships can get that sort of thinking, that adrenaline sort of thinking. We can actually shut down our thinking and just go into some sort of reaction, protect, hide, attack, judge. And what happens then? Well, if you are afraid here and you start attacking people, then there will become a distance between you and others. If you feel rejected or fear rejection or judgment when you come here, then you might protect or hide. And once again, what's the result? Distance. The result with distance is poor communication. With poor communication comes false expectations, which means that the trust begins to be eroded further with false expectations, and then this can often result in a breakdown of behaviour. And the ironic thing, as I was looking at this, I thought, you actually end up with a justified fear. Whether your fear was justified at the beginning or not, if the relationship spiraled down, then you end up in a place where maybe behaviour has come to a point where you actually have a reason to be afraid. Now, I've at different times shared a spiral of grace, which is the opposite. And we'll think about that in a moment. But before we do that, I just want us to think for a moment from Luke chapter 5, verse 8. Because I think for fear to be something that we can resist, there needs to be a short circuit. There needs to be a reset in our brain, if you like. But who was it who said, "Get away from me, I'm a sinful man"? Sorry? Peter. We actually looked at it a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? Peter Curry mentioned it. And there's this irony in this, isn't there? Like, Peter's afraid of Jesus, isn't he? Like, Peter's going, "Oh my goodness, I've just realized who Jesus is a little bit more, and he needs to get away from me. I can't be around somebody like that." Can you hear the talk? Peter's actually judging himself at this point, isn't he? But he's very much expecting that that Jesus will agree with him. But do you remember Peter Curry highlighted this, and I remember preaching on this a while back, and I highlighted it as well. What was Peter's posture at this moment when he says this? Do you remember? He's throwing himself at Jesus' feet. Can you see and hear the disconnect? Peter talked about it 2 weeks ago. It's like, "Get away from me, Jesus." Can you see the problem? Well, can you see the tension, I guess? Now, this is the fear, grace type thing, isn't it? Like, can you see how Peter's afraid of Jesus at one point, but he's attracted to him? He knows this is where I need to be. Now, the interesting thing is, last week we looked at the prodigal son, and just thinking about that idea of the prodigal son who's in that land far, far away, and he decides, "I'm going to go back to the father," and he heads towards the father, just like Peter throws himself at Jesus' feet. This guy's heading towards the father, and what is the narrative that's going on in his head? "I'm no longer worthy to be your son." It's exactly Peter, isn't it? "Stay away from me, I'm a sinful man," throwing myself at your feet. Walking to the Father while saying, "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." There's this relationship, this tension between grace and fear that is going on. And the thing that happens with both of these examples, with Peter and with his prodigal son, is that there is some sort of rewiring or some sort of thing that brain snap that happens where they go, "I'm afraid, but no, I must go because of who Jesus is." And that's why the week resist fear comes after the week of nurture grace. And so if we look at the passage, and we're not looking at the passage a lot this morning, the passage is gold. If you do nothing else this week, just read that passage over and over again. It is thick with love and also some very deep thoughts around it as well. But in verse 16, and I love this verse, it says, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us." So that's the change that has to happen within us in one sense, isn't it? That we have to know and rely on the love God has for us. Have you thought about that? Paused and thought, I'd love to know and rely on God's love. I'd love to know God's love. I already know God's love at some level, but I'd love to know God's love more. So much so that I rely on His love. As I walk towards Him going, "I'm no longer worthy to be your son," I want to know and rely on His love. And then John reassures us. He says, well, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. That is what it is to know and rely. It is to swim in that love. It is to live in that love. Or as Jesus would say in John 15, it's to abide in Him. to find your dwelling place, your waking moments and the moments when you drift off to sleep and through the day, knowing that you are held by Him and loved by Him. I love that idea of knowing and relying. And so as we think about that, I do want to, and this is a talk that I found hard to stay on track. I was a little bit, you know, like, oh, there's a butterfly. I wanted to go different places. But when it comes to just this idea of who we are as people who fear judgment within us, this is idea of us as a church community and what we promote and encourage and live out. But there's also just what we bring as well. I haven't talked about FUPU for a while, family of origin poo, in case you're not up to speed with that. It's the poo that we have from the place in which we were formed the most and grew up in. We're actually talking about it a little bit on Friday night at WIMAC. And in that space, we can internalize judgment, we can internalize fear. And once again, this change that needs to happen as grace and love work in us, from us soaking in it and sitting in it and internalizing it, so that grace and trust overcome fear. Now, I've got down the bottom just this place that I felt I had to mention as well in all of this. There are relationships, there are churches, there are people who are unsafe and you should be afraid of, and you should perhaps even call the authorities if there is abuse. And if you are in a relationship like that, you need to move for safety. It may be appropriate for you to move away from that. I need to say that, but also, once again, to go back to where we are, we're talking about in particular with God, but also in places that are safe or making spaces that are safe, we need to overcome fear and instead live in grace and truth. In verses 17 to 18, it says this: "This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence in the day of judgment." What will we have in the day of judgment? Confidence. Yeah, you went to a place where they got you to shout amen at the end of your prayer. That's right. What do we have in the day of judgment?
Confidence.
Okay. That was awkward, never doing that again. Okay, so just jokes. I love that though, don't you? That's what, for Peter, that was the battle, wasn't it? Get away from me, I'm a sinful man coming to you, but not confidently. And then as you get all the way, and I think we did this with Peter as well, or was it on Lectio 365 that we did this, where Jesus restores Peter on the beach after the next fishing trip, the last fishing trip, and has that moment. What was that like for Peter to go through that? And yet it was all a part of his journey so that he would have confidence. And we know that Peter, church history tells us that Peter one day went, well, and this is what Jesus was referring to on the beach when he talked to him. Peter would go where others led him. He would die a death for his love for Jesus and for those around him. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. I found that image, it came up, I was searching for something connected to love or whatever, and I think the T-Rex is, I think it's so sad that T-Rexes are always stereotyped. I'm sure they would have made great pets and be very loving. But it's the big evil fear monster, I guess. It's the punishment that we fear, the judgment, the condemnation. But the nice, colourful little dinosaurs that are very friendly have been impacted by love and are moving towards fear, to face the things through the love that they have. So, I guess in all of this, one of the things I want to highlight this morning is that grace needs to be felt. Fear will endeavour to stop it. Fear will endeavour to stomp it out. But that needs to be resisted. And the best way to resist it, I think, or a good way to resist it maybe is better to say, is to feel grace. I think there's this reality that, especially because of our family of origin mess perhaps as well that we might bring to it, as well as other experiences along the way, when it comes to this idea of as a community being a space where we resist fear. It means being a space where we're able to build trust with one another by being safe, by not being a place of judgment and condemnation. So trust needs to be fostered, it needs to be nurtured, it needs to be founded on reality and actual experiences that happen. It needs to be grown over time, it needs to be tested, it needs to be proven. And it should never be expected, demanded, rushed, pressured, or forced. And so to be in a space as a community, to be a people who are endeavoring to show grace and to love, to be a space where there is openness and yet forgiveness, so that over time, because it won't happen immediately, over time trust can be built, so that there can be a greater grace as well as a greater vulnerability. I don't know if you've thought about that fact that grace is one of those things that does demand a level of vulnerability from us. And a part of that's because of what we've experienced previously. When somebody has promised grace and then we have gone to them and said, well, there's this, and they've gone, oh, whoa, that's beyond my grace, I'm sorry. That's the thing about Jesus, isn't it? Whatever you take to him, he will go, I've got grace for that. I mean, Jesus is the guy who was nailed to a cross, and as he's nailed to the cross, says, Father, forgive them. I don't know what they're doing. We need to feel grace for these things to be able to occur in us as a community. We need to sit in that reality. And for me, that image of Jesus on the cross asking the Father to forgive, that's one of those ones I like to sit with, because one of the things it says to me is, yeah, Jesus is on the cross because of me. I'm not minimizing that. And I'm also not going to say, if I was there, I wouldn't have nailed him. I'm not going to say that either. But what I will say is that he said that even about the ones who were doing it at the time. His grace is big enough for me. And so these things are worth sitting in, I think, marinating in and helping them to shape us. To go back to the book, A Church Called Tove, this is, if we have enough of us have this little recircuit, reshape of our brain, and some of us have, and we're working towards that, and there's already a lot of grace at MacChap. This is not a sermon that comes out of, hey, you guys, you don't have enough grace. Get on with it. It's not from that spot. It's just the next chapter in the book. But it's helpful, and we can always be better, and we can always grow more. But it says, trusting relationships are built on reciprocity. I don't like saying reciprocity. Like, it seems hard work. It's the N word? Huh. Well, there you go. Well, I'll try and reciprocate. We are built on reciprocity. We must give in order to get. As one sibling contributes to the family, we're the family, by the way, we're the siblings, and another receives that gift, a society of reciprocity is formed, a mutual gift exchange, and that is what church is. It's that place where maybe one of us is struggling, but one of us moves towards. Maybe one of us decides to be vulnerable at a point and the other says, wow, you've made yourself vulnerable. I want to give you a gift of grace at this point. It could look like so many different things in so many different ways. And that is who we're called to be as those that follow Jesus, who are apprentices to the master of this. Did you notice how Jesus was a master of this? In fact, he gravitated towards those who had not been shown grace. The Peters of the world, the blind people of the world, the unclean people with internal bleeding, to the Samaritan women of the world, to all of them, he was gravitated towards, he moved towards them and said, here there's grace, there is grace. And when you think about it, Jesus, through one life over a three-year ministry, changed the world doing that. So the question for us this morning, just for a moment, and I realize the absolute irony in the slide that I'm about to show you, but I hope you can laugh at it and show grace, But the question is, how are we going as a church community with fear, grace and trust? Now, I love the image now that I've looked at it. It's like, do we attack? Tick, yes, we do. We're attack dogs. Do we withdraw? Yes, we do. That's not what it's meant to do. It's just meant to be an opportunity to reflect on how we're going. But there are questions. I mean, do we attack? Like, people in communities, like, there can be a toxic community where somebody does, like, physically attack people or verbally attack people. I guess there's also this other reality as well. In our wider family, there is a dog, and this dog is large, and this dog is full of love. This dog is full of love, and this dog is slightly uncontained. And when this dog runs towards you, it's like love is coming, and it's going to hit like a freight train. And you don't know, because now this dog is getting more mature, it often sort of stops short, like, and then just sits there and looks up at you, tail wagging. But for a while there, it was like, I'm going to get hit by this huge ball, this hairy ball of love. And we can be like that sometimes. We mean well, but we're too much. Or whatever it might be. Sometimes we mean well, but we're just unable to move towards somebody when it would be helpful. And so it's just worth reflecting on some of these things. I think one of the things that's encouraged me lately about MacChap is that I've heard from people who have said, I love being here. It's a place where I have experienced grace. In which case, that's great. I love that. And I hope we can grow more and more in that. So as always, in all these things, as we think about Tov and Tovness, where does Tovness come from? It comes from God, remember? He's the original, the place, the originator, the fountain from which Tov flows. And so with all these things, and if it's going to resist evil, then we've got to go to God. We've got to be walking with him and in step with him and internalizing that grace so that we can live without fear. And so there's some questions. Are we letting God first love us? Are we being perfected in love? And are we sharing our journey? These are all the things in our passage today, aren't they? That's one of the challenging things about this passage. Like, John talks so much about love, and yet at some points it's almost cutting in the sense that it's like, and if you say you have love but you don't do this, you don't love. There's so much truth in there as well. Questions for us. Are we getting these things from the place where they come from? What is our connection to God? Is it robust and significant enough to support the courage that we need at times to face and move towards the things that we might be afraid of that are good things? So we've looked at this passage, we've thought about resisting resisting fear. So don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Why do you think we sometimes pretend to love rather than really doing it? I'd suggest it's fear. There's something that love is asking of us. Something that love is asking of us that is difficult for us. It might be that it's calling us to be vulnerable. So we will pretend to share rather than really sharing because we're afraid to really share. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. So I have an invitation for you. And it's an invitation to sit in all of 1 John 4, 13 and 21 if you want. But in particular, I'd encourage you maybe to sit in verse 16 this week. If you wanted to think about internalizing grace and where it comes from. We know how much God loves us. This is the NLT version of verse 16. We know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in his love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Something really encouraging in that, isn't there? You have a connection and a relationship to the greatest source of love who is within you, closer than your own breath. And yet it's so easy to forget and to become afraid again. So I want to encourage you in that week to sit in that truth. But the second invitation is there as well. Today, where and how will you resist fear? Where and how will you resist fear? Where will you put this connection that you have with God and the grace that you have been shown, the love that you have been shown? Where are you going to put it into action in life in some way so that fear gets busted? So that fear cannot be there. Do you hear what the challenge is? And it could be a relationship that you have with somebody where you know there is fear. You might have fear. They might have fear. It's just one of those connections that is more grounded in that, to be able to think through some of the things we've looked at, think through 1 John 4, and what it is that God might be calling you, who God might be calling you to be in that situation. I feel there's been a lot. Let me pray. Yeah, Heavenly Father, we thank you that as your prodigal children, we can come to you. Even though we are not worthy to be called your sons and daughters, we just thank you that you see us as your sons and daughters. Pray, Lord, that you would help grace to soak deeply into our hearts. Lord, I pray for MacChap that we would be a community of grace, that we might be a place where people feel safe, that we might be a space where when people come into it, they feel that they are in your presence. Lord, I pray for each of us this week that in some way you might shift the parts within us that are still afraid, that you might help your love to break through and to drive out that fear. And finally, Lord, I pray that you would help us as we are challenged at all this morning by any specific relationships we might have. And we might be a part of the cause for the fear, or we may be afraid. Lord, help us to know who it is that you might want us to be in that space. Help us to trust in you for the resources. And help us to trust in you that in courage as well as in love and grace, we might move towards and overcome our fears. In Jesus' name, amen.